Walking in Pathways of Happiness by David M. Whitchurch. It was mid-August, and the warm summer months had prepared the rivers and streams of Utah's Uinta Mountains to teach me a lesson I would never forget. At the time, I worked for the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. My job was to help gather field information for the anticipated construction of a new reservoir. As a wildlife science major, I thought it the ideal summer job. One day, typical of most, our supervisor took us to one of the tributaries to the potential reservoir. Once at the site, we stretched a net across the surface of the river and secured it tightly. Then we anchored the underside of the net to the river bottom with weights. We repeated the procedure a quarter mile downstream. Our goal was to systematically retrieve as much of the aquatic life as possible between the two nets and the river. We used electricity to temporarily stun the fish or other aquatic life long enough for us to net them and place them into a tank of water, where we identified, weighed, and measured the specimens before releasing them back into the river. We used a portable battery-powered backpack that had the capability to deliver a 500-volt shock. One person carried the 40-pound backpack, and two others carried long electrodes with insulated handles that were moved systematically through the water. Two more people with handheld nets followed closely behind each electrode to quickly scoop up anything that was shocked. On that particular day, we were gathering data on a small stream, and it was my turn to carry the backpack. The rubber soles on my chest waders were worn from using them all summer, and the rocks on the bottom of the stream were mossy. We had not been working long when I slipped and fell. As I reached behind me to break my fall, I felt a jolt as my backpack hit the water, and I soon felt what the fish had been experiencing all summer. I learned two valuable lessons that day. First, without proper insulation, 500 volts of electricity hurts. And second, electricity has the capacity to hold you to the water. I could not stand up. Fortunately, within seconds, someone from the crew splashed over and turned off the battery pack. That day, I learned that electricity is a force that demands respect. If one knows the laws governing this powerful force, it can be a useful tool. On the other hand, when one disregards the laws of electricity, there is a price to pay. The same is true for the laws of God. The laws of mortality. Consider the eternal laws that the Lord has set forth regarding the purpose of our mortal existence. After speaking with the Lord face to face, and learning of God's infinite creations, Moses learned that the Lord's work in glory is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Moses, chapter 1, verse 39. The Book of Mormon is a valuable resource to teach us the laws by which God makes this possible. Elder John A. Witsu of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, 1872 through 1952, stated that the Book of Mormon is another witness of Jesus Christ. This is made evident throughout the book, from the title page to the last page. Indeed, its message concerns itself with the plan for human happiness, in which Jesus Christ is the central figure. And so it is. The purpose of Adam and Eve's fall was that they and their children might have joy. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25. After the fall, mortality became both a preparatory and probationary state. Alma chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, and Alma chapter 42, verses 10 through 15. Joseph Smith taught that happiness is the object and design of our existence, and will be the end thereof if we pursue the path that leads to it. And this path is virtue, uprightness, faithfulness, holiness, and keeping all the commandments of God. In order to receive a fullness of this joy, it was necessary to provide an atonement that overcame the effects of the fall and opened the means whereby we could repent of wrongdoing. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 10, Helaman chapter 14, verses 12 through 18. So our purpose in mortality is to live in such a way that after the reuniting of our spirit and body, we will be raised to endless happiness, to inherit the kingdom of God. See Alma chapter 41, verse 4, also Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verses 33 through 34. Now this happiness we speak of was not meant just for the afterlife. A portion of that is attainable now. How do we accomplish such a task? Again, the Book of Mormon provides the answer. A profound and forceful statement by Alma says that wickedness never was happiness, Alma chapter 41, verse 10. Alma goes on to say that all who are in a carnal state are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. They are without God in the world, and they have gone contrary to the nature of God. Therefore, they are in a state contrary to the nature of happiness. Alma chapter 41, verse 11. It is impossible to be truly happy unless we are seeking and doing the will of God. Samuel the Lamanite prophet reminded the wicked Nephites that their destruction is made sure. Yea, for ye have sought all the days of your life for that which ye could not obtain, and ye have sought for happiness in doing iniquity. Helaman chapter 13, verse 38. Samuel's statement then becomes a reminder to us all that if we keep the commandments, we can know happiness. Consider that the people in Captain Moroni's time were happy even while their enemies were plotting war. But behold, there never was a happier time among the people of Nephi since the days of Nephi than in the days of Moroni. Alma chapter 50, verse 23. This comment refers specifically to those who were faithful in keeping the commandments of the Lord. Alma chapter 50, verse 22. President Spencer W. Kimball emphasized this key point when he said, "Peace, joy, satisfaction, happiness, growth, and contentment all come with a righteous living of the commandments of God." Indeed, we can see that much of personal happiness depends on agency. Even for those who face trying circumstances beyond their control, such as health problems, difficult family situations, or criminal acts by strangers, the Lord has promised that whosoever putteth his trust in Him, the same shall be lifted up at the last day. Mosiah chapter 23, verse 22. While future happiness is promised, there is also hope for a measure of cheer, even in the midst of current trials. While Alma and his people who were kept captive by the wicked priests of Noah poured out their hearts to the Lord, they were told, "Lift up your heads and be of good comfort. I will ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs." Mosiah chapter 24, verses 13 through 14. Those of us who choose to live so that we may be comforted and directed by the Holy Ghost, in times of trial may lay our burdens at the feet of the Savior, where we find rest unto our souls. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Knowing there is help from a source wiser than ourselves allows us to keep perspective and lift our heads, as did Alma's people. Yea, the Lord did strengthen them, that they could bear up their burdens with ease. And they did submit cheerfully and with patience to all the will of the Lord. Mosiah chapter 24, verse 15. While we are in trying circumstances, hope, peace, and the comfort of the Spirit become our sources of cheer until a brighter day dawns. This will I do, that ye may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, do visit my people in their afflictions. From Mosiah chapter 24, verse 14. The law of agency. The law of agency provides each of us with the opportunity to choose happiness or misery, demonstrating to our Heavenly Father the innermost desires of our heart. Alma taught his son Corianton that it was necessary with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works. And if their works were good in this life and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be raised to endless happiness. Alma chapter 41, verses 3 through 4. King Benjamin taught this same principle. "And moreover, I would desire that ye should consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness." Mosiah chapter 2, verse 41. Of course, the opposite is true for those who choose works contrary to the commandments. The choice is ours. We can choose to keep the commandments of God and be happy, or we can choose to ignore His commandments and be filled with fear, guilt, and awful misery. See 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 46, and Helaman chapter 14, verses 29 through 30. King Benjamin warned that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which has been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. Therefore he listeth, desires to obey the evil spirit, and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Mosiah chapter 2, verses 36 through 37. Agency allows all God's children to be judged for the desires of their hearts and attendant works. Mortality truly is a probationary state. Yet for those who make choices contrary to gospel principles, the Lord provides a way should they want to come back. The law of repentance. The laws of God are as relentless as the electric current that held me to the water. When we break any law of God, justice demands payment. See Jacob chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and Alma chapter 42, verse 13. Fortunately, our Heavenly Father provided a means whereby we can return to His presence and still meet the full payment of justice. Alma chapter 42, verses 22 through 25. From the beginning of humankind, the great and eternal plan of deliverance proclaimed the good news that a Savior would come into the world to redeem the Father's children from the grasp of death and hell. 2 Nephi chapter 11, verse 5. Also 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 10. 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 26. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 5. And Alma chapter 7, verse 10. The Scriptures teach that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Also 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Like the electricity that held me to the water, sin has consequences. Fortunately for each of us, the consequences can be alleviated when our need for change burns strong enough and when we have the faith necessary to turn to Jesus Christ. Then and only then can we receive the great joy that comes through repentance. Mosiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Consider the experience of Alma in Alma chapter 36, verses 12 through 16. After contemplating his many sins, he remembered the words his father had spoken concerning the coming of one Jesus Christ, a Son of God to atone for the sins of the world. Alma chapter 36, verse 17. Once he turned wholeheartedly to Christ, he found there was nothing so exquisite and sweet as was his joy. Alma chapter 36, verse 21. We may or may not sin to the extent that Alma did, but this same joy awaits each of us as we yield ourselves to the enticing to the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man. Mosiah chapter 3, verse 19. Even if we are uneasy about our standing before the Lord, it is still possible to find the serenity, peace, and happiness we desire. Mormon spoke of this process when he said, "Behold, this joy which none receiveth, save it be the truly penitent and humble seeker of happiness." Alma chapter 27, verse 18. In order for us to maximize the blessings of God, we must turn our hearts to the Lord with a willingness to give our all to Him, including our sins, as did King Lamoni's father, who stated, "I will give up all that I possess, yea, I will forsake my kingdom, that I may receive this great joy." His desire to know God and the joy that only He can provide culminated in the king's plea, "I will give away all my sins to know Thee." From Alma chapter 22, verses 15 and verse 18. The Law of Happiness. What a marvelous plan our Heavenly Father instituted for His children. It truly is the great plan of happiness. However, to reach such happiness, we must understand that the joy and happiness that God provides differ drastically from that defined by the world. Speaking of joy versus pleasure, Elder B.H. Roberts of the 70, 1857 through 1933, said, "Joy may arise from quite other sources than pleasure, from pain even, when the endurance of pain is to eventuate in the achievement of some good, such as the travail of a mother in bringing forth her offspring, or the weariness and pain and danger of toil by a father to secure comforts for loved ones. So we see that joy is not synonymous with pleasure and often exists concurrently with hardships and trials. It is during these moments when our afflictions are swallowed up in the joy of Christ. See Alma chapter 31, verse 38, and Alma chapter 33, verse 11. Worldly joy is seasonal, not enduring. If it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of man, or upon the works of the devil, verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence there is no return. From 3 Nephi chapter 27, verse 11. Elder Roberts eloquently stated that lasting joy arises out of man seeing good and evil locked in awful conflict, through a consciousness of having chosen in that conflict the better part, the good, and not only in having chosen it, but having wedded it by eternal compact, made it his by right of conquest over evil. What makes us happy? If happiness is the purpose of our existence in this life and the next, then it is worth looking at other ideas from the Book of Mormon as to what brings us happiness. Knowledge of the events associated with the birth, redemption, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Contemplating the birth, life, and mission of our Savior reaffirms the heralded message of glad tidings of great joy brought by angels and prophets alike. Time taken to ponder our Lord's birth and willingness to submit to the will of the Father in all things brings with it a realization of the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel. See Mosiah chapter 3, verse 3, Alma chapter 13, verse 22, Helaman chapter 16, verse 14, Alma chapter 16, verse 20, also Alma chapter 33, verses 22 through 23, Alma chapter 39, verses 15 through 16, and 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 19. Personal growth in the gospel. The more we learn about the gospel and live its principles, the more joy and happiness we will attain. Helaman teaches the process by which this may be accomplished. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in their humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts unto God. Helaman chapter 3, verse 35. The process of sanctification begins with yielding our heart to God. Again, we are taught that happiness comes as a matter of making good choices. Joy in recognizing what God has done for us. The Book of Mormon states from the outset that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom He hath chosen because of their faith to make them mighty even under the power of deliverance. 1 Nephi chapter 1, verse 20. Moroni repeats a similar message near the end of the Book of Mormon, asking those who read this book to take time to ponder and to remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam even down until the time that ye shall receive these things. Moroni chapter 10, verse 3. Surely humility involves retaining and remembrance the greatness of God and our own nothingness. Mosiah chapter 4, verse 11. As we do so, joy will follow. The word remember, used more than 100 times throughout the Book of Mormon, reminds us of the importance the Lord places on counting the many blessings He bestows upon His children. See Mosiah chapter 4, verse 11, and Alma chapter 29, verse 10. Sharing the gospel. Joy comes from sharing the gospel with others. Even the anticipation of bringing souls to Christ can make one happy. Alma demonstrated this while teaching the words of Christ to a group of apostate Nephites. When the poverty-stricken Zoramites began asking him gospel-related questions, he turned him about, and he beheld with great joy that they were in a preparation to hear the word. Alma chapter 32, verse 6. The same can be said for the thousands of young men, women, and missionary couples each year as they anticipate then perform their missionary labors throughout the world. Seeing others live the principles of the gospel, after Lehi partook of the fruit in his Tree of Life vision, he immediately sought to share with his family the great joy he had experienced. 1 Nephi chapter 8, verse 12. The same principle holds true for other faithful followers of Christ. See 1 Nephi chapter 16, verse 5, Alma chapter 7, verse 4, chapter 17, verse 2, and chapter 26, verse 37, Alma chapter 30, verse 34, and chapter 38, verses 2 through 3, and 3 Nephi chapter 17, verse 20. To witness family and friends making righteous choices can be as rewarding as our own personal efforts in righteousness, maybe even more so at times. See Alma chapter 29, verse 14. What is the purpose of mortality? It is to learn how to achieve happiness. However, to achieve this happiness, we must understand and keep the laws established by God. Laws that are as irrefutable as those that pertain to electricity. May we take the time to consider the eternal laws set forth in the great plan of happiness. Alma chapter 42, verse 8. Let us use our agency in the manner the Lord intended, and remember that they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of the world, and despise the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. 2 Nephi chapter 9, verse 18. Gospel topics: agency, happiness, repentance. Note, David M. Whitchurch is an associate professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University. End of note. End of the article, Walking in Pathways of Happiness by David M. Whitchurch.